Good afternoon, ladies and gentlemen. You're listening to Financial Survival, brought to you by Discount Gold and Silver Trading. I'm Melody Cederstrom, and I'm here with my co-host, Dave Allen. Allen. As we bring you our opinion and commentary on today's economic and political events for Tuesday, May 24th, 2022. Good afternoon, Dave.
Oh, you're becoming more and more reluctant to say hi, Dave, for fear of what
I will say in response.
So I'm not going to say anything except hello, Melody, and happy National Brothers Day.
I knew you, yeah.
To my two kid brothers, Chris and Jason, and all my other bros out there, I hope you're having a great day.
There you go. So that's not a bad one. So there you go. Happy Brothers Day out there. Okay, well, one of these days we're going to have a happy gold day. How about that?
I like that.
Yeah, me too. And we had a nice day today. It went up, stayed there, just like everything else. You know, it's like the markets move and, you know, they don't fluctuate much, but the Dow did today. But gold right now in the New York spot price after market, 1290 at 1867. Silver was up 31 cents at $22.18. Platinum was down 3 at 962. Palladium was up 18 at 2,096. The USDX today was down 0.31 at 101.76. Crude oil was down 24 cents at 110. Paper markets today, well, the Dow was down, I think earlier it was down 300 points, Dave, maybe more. It reversed itself, and now we're up 50, 31,930. The S&P was down 32 points, 3,941, but the NASDAQ took the hit. It was down over 2%, 270 points, 11,264. All of Asia was negative. All of Europe was negative. Interesting how the Dow managed back. And the 10-year yield, 2.76%. And natural gas continues to rise another percentage, 8.84. So a lot of weird things happening in the market today. And I just want to bring this up before we go and we start talking about what's in the news today. And, you know, I saw this thing on CNBC where it's like Michael Burry is predicting, you know, he's 2022 is like watching the plane crash. And for those of you who don't know who Michael Burry is, he made tons of money. He was a big hedge fund guy back at the dot-com crash and then again during the subprime mortgage collapse. And you know what's funny? It's this guy didn't say anything that we weren't talking about. And again, you know, we're all saying the same thing. We warned lots of people about the dot-com. We were warning people all about the subprime mortgages and that market was going to crash and, you know, the things that happened was going to happen. But he had something interesting, and he's talking about 2022. And he is expecting to see a collapse this year. And he changed his social media handle to Cassandra. And Cassandra is known to be a prophetess who appears in Greek mythology. And her curse was a lifetime of seeing the future and begging others to listen, but never being believed. And you know what, Dave? That's somehow how I feel. On this program, we keep telling folks that this is going to happen. It might not happen overnight, but we're telling you what is in the future, what is in store for you, just based on, you know, really following at hand what is going on in these markets. But so few. I mean, there's a lot who do, but I mean, there's many, many, many more who just don't care to pay attention until it's too late. Until they actually become, you know, until they actually see it coming out of their pocketbooks to any big degree, and they get that little chill up down their spine, and that fear begins to creep in, and then they'll react. And lots of times it's just too late. And I do believe this time might be a little different. I think this time it'll go on a little bit longer than even those in the past, all the corrections in the markets have done. Yes, they've always come back, but there was always a lot of creation of programs coming from the Fed and Wall Street in order to draw in all those monies. And, you know, we became more globalized, and money was able to move around the world at a lot faster pace. And, you know, at the drop of a pin, you know, you could move billions and billions of dollars. And so the markets did change. And you know, and to me, that's impacted gold markets a little bit because, you know, the gold market has been watered down by other investments. And so, you know, people become immune to what a really good safe haven is. So it takes a little bit longer for gold to react. But I assure you, ladies and gentlemen, it is my opinion, my humble opinion, that there is, I'd like to see another safe haven that provides the benefits that gold does. And silver. And for those of these other people out there who talk about, oh, you know, there's not going to be, when gold rises, there isn't going to be anyone there to buy your coins, they're just flat out lying to you. And I would debate them anytime, anywhere, for the people who say that, because they are wrong. And they have a personal agenda. And that's what it's all about. So if you hear those statements, give me a call, 1-800-375-4188. That's 800-375-4188. You know, Dave, you know, this always kind of upset me. It's like here we're a nation to where we can't even feed our babies. And then I was just thinking before the program, why would people care that we can't feed our babies? Because they don't care that we kill them. So who cares? Who should be held accountable for not feeding them? But we are getting some food for them. A military plane is carrying some specialty infant formula for more than 500,000 baby bottles and has arrived in Indianapolis. And it is the first of several flights that's expected from Europe. And, you know, I can't even... there were no commercial flights available, so they used, Biden authorized the use of Air Force planes. There's just something, I mean, what kind of picture does that make you think about? You know, here's our Air Force planes flying baby formula. I don't know. I don't know, Dave. You know, Agriculture Secretary Vilsack was there to greet the arrival of the first shipment. It's going to provide some incremental relief in the coming days. But again, it's still going to be weeks, if not months, before we could actually supply this baby formula to the babies of this country, Dave.
Yeah, I mean... Abbott Nutrition, which owns the big manufacturing plant in Michigan that closed down, hopes to reopen next week. But they said it'll take about 2 months before product there is ready to be delivered to stores and pharmacies across the country. So it's not certainly not a good thing right now, and won't be for the next couple of weeks. And health officials are warning moms and dads to be careful about trying to mix your own batch of formula in the meantime. But besides that, and feeding by the breast, I'm not sure what viable alternatives there are out there.
Well, from my understanding, you know, you get these babies on a formula and you just can't change it. You know, so, you know, they should always, you know, always check with your doctor and so forth. I mean, certainly we were raised without formula, but he survived. But, you know, it's like I said, these babies get used to a certain thing and you just can't change it on them, as far as I know. But it's from what I've heard. So it just baffles me, just totally baffles me. But anyway, economic growth is on track to slow way down in months ahead. This is, you know, forecasters. Maybe people like that hedge fund guy is seeing the writing on the wall. Earlier projections of continued speedy growth, if that was to happen, it would mean rising rather than falling inflation pressures. The latest round of forecast is more consistent with the economy downshifting toward normal. The bad news is that slower growth leaves the economy more vulnerable to a recession, especially if some unlucky negative shocks will show up. And I don't think this time, I think if this, I don't think that the economy slows down that it's going to affect inflation at all. I don't know, Dave.
Because I don't think any, I don't think anybody really knows. They're just a string of possibilities out there that everyone's talking about could happen. And some of it's better and some of it's worse.
But the thing about that is nobody, that's the whole point, nobody really knows. So that means they don't have a clue what's going on.
Well, you're right. And it's particularly frustrating for investors of all types because we count on someone to have, you know, an informed, not necessarily crystal ball, but an informed opinion about the likelihood of the direction that the economy's going to be taken, and therefore it gives us a clue. Now, precious metal investors, particularly those of who've been in it for a while, particularly physical gold and silver, and most are in it for the long term. They're not generally paper. They don't own ETF, gold ETFs, gold stocks.
No one should.
Therefore, I mean, because they're in it for the long haul, they should go to bed at night with a much higher degree of comfort, knowing that things are not only not going to fall apart, but things will be there the next day.
Very true. And you know what, with all of these, I mean, all you have to do is look at the big picture, and there's no way and I'm going back to, you know, the beginning of heading into 2020, this country was messed up. The economy was sinking. And then you shut down global economies for months. You know, I don't think people just have a clue on, you know, everything that we talk about, the degree, how dysfunctional these systems are. And how can they improve? How can economies improve? You know, Dave, I think we were going to talk about here in a little bit about what Walmart's doing. They're going, you know, hey, they're bringing in more robots and technology, and that just eliminates people's jobs. There isn't anything that's happening that's forecasted that I can see as a positive sign.
I was in a Walmart yesterday with my daughter, the first time in a long time. And I couldn't believe that the checkout area, which used to have 20-some checkout counters and checkout clerks manning them, they were down, I counted them, they were down to six. And now there's this just proliferation of self checkout kiosks, and it's like, I wonder what those poor people who lost those jobs are doing now.
You know, and sometimes when I go through that checkout lines, I'll, you know, somebody comes up to me and says, well, you can check out yourself. I'll tell them, no, I don't want to. And that's going to eliminate your job. Hello? Haven't you figured that out yet?
I work for a progressive company. We have self-checkout kiosks. We have robots in the aisles. We have drone delivery service. delivering to a former Walmart employee.
Yeah, maybe if they have the money. But yeah, I mean, it's just, people don't get it. People don't, they just don't understand what's happening. Maybe because of the pace it's happening so quickly and they just never paid attention. I mean, I think, Dave, the average life of a vehicle is now 12.2 years. You know, there's a shortage of new cars, sky-high prices for used vehicles, so people are just keeping what they have. There was a report from research firm S&P Global Mobility shows that the average vehicle, as I mentioned, is 12.2 years. The increasing age of cars and trucks is not entirely attributable to the distortions in the auto marketplace. It's the fifth straight year that the average age has increased. It is true that cars and trucks have a little more longevity than they did once before, but that never stopped people from trading in their cars and trucks. Not when the rates were so low. You know, as long as you had a pulse, you could get it. You could trade your cars in and get a new loan. But that's what they've been doing. I think the main culprit there, Dave, is it isn't that they're lasting longer. It's that people have refinanced and refinanced and refinanced all their new cars over the last 10 or 15 years. They can't do it anymore. They're out of money. And so now they got to hold on to those all those car loans that are totally underwater, and then again the costs are so much more. So I mean it's there was this one guy who says the supply is crimped because no one is getting the new cars they want because they can't build them fast enough. I just don't think that's 100% true, Dave. What do you think? Oh, my gosh.
I think it's time for a break.
It is. What a segue. We'll be right back. Please stay tuned. You're listening to Financial Survival.
Since the beginning of the United States, kings have sought it, nations have fought for it. It has been traded, borrowed, purchased, and stolen. There is a reason for it. To secure the blessings of liberty to ourselves and our posterity, invest with the security of gold and silver. Call Discount Gold and Silver Trading at 1-800-375-4188. That's 1-800-375-4188. Listen to Financial Survival with your host, Melody Cederstrom, on Shortwave Radio. Visit DiscountGoldAndSilverTrading.net or call 1-800-375-4188. That's 1-800-375-4188. For the very best in gold and silver trading, call toll-free 1-800-375-4188. That's 1-800-375-4188. Call now.
Melody Cederstrom and CSE Talk Radio team up as Common Sense Voices of Integrity. I personally endorse Melody Cederstrom to be your trusted go-to expert for all your precious metal needs. Experts agree a financial crisis and even collapse is inevitable. Given our government's lack of economic leadership and self-interests of those in power, it's no longer a question of if you should purchase gold and silver, but if you will purchase gold and silver before it's too late. Melody encourages you to tune in each weekday morning. Visit csetalkradio.com. We both agree truth and education are the two significant factors in both our missions. There is a wealth of misinformation out there. Let Melody and Beth Ann help you sort through the chaos and bring you home to the truths that will ensure that you and your family are protected. Call Discount Gold and Silver Trading, 1-800-375-4188, or online at dgscoins.com. Melody and Beth Ann are strong forces together, working to preserve liberty and bring America home.
Welcome back. You're listening to Financial Survival. I'm Melody Cederstrom, and I'm here with Dave Allen. During the break, we were talking about nicknames that we had when we were young and in school. And can you remember your nickname? And yeah, it is funny when you look back, and, you know, actually, it's funny to see how the nicknames have changed throughout our lives. There's always a nickname somewhere or whatever.
Let's not go there. There's the premarital nicknames and the postmarital nicknames.
Yes. And then some. 1-800-375-4188. That's 1-800-375-4188. Make sure you visit our website at dgscoins.com. dgscoins.com. Make sure you sign up for our weekly newsletter. Coming up next, well, this weekend is Memorial Day weekend, so we will be having a replay on Monday, and there will be no newsletter come Monday unless, Dave, you choose to do so. But everything will probably be closed, and I don't think there's too many reports coming out this week for noteworthiness. So we'll be looking forward to a 3-day weekend here at Discount Gold and Silver Trading. Going into the break, we were talking a little bit about the average life of vehicles. Did you want to add anything to that, Dave, before we move on?
No.
Okay.
No, I think we're good. I mean, the prognosticators are all over the place on this one, you know, in terms of what they see in the next 6 months to a year. I mean, we know that new car supplies are still down. They're not as bad as they had been, but they're still down for different reasons, not the least of which is the lack of computer chips that run new vehicles. Let's perhaps Utz and Gibble should get into the car chip making business, Melody.
Yes. Last week we started back with the Levity is Golden, and I'm not quite sure how I feel about this. I think it's good, but I'm not sure this is the right way to solve the problem. But it's about parents that can sue for social media addiction, Dave?
It just, I was looking for topics, and this one I had to do an about face, a double take. So, yes, we're talking about addiction, particularly to social media. California could soon hold social media companies responsible for harming children who have become addicted to their products. proposed law would allow parents to sue platforms like Meta, Facebook, Instagram, TikTok, etc., for up to $25,000 per violation under a bill that passed the state assembly yesterday. That bill defines addiction as kids under 18 who are both harmed, either physically, mentally, emotionally, developmentally, or materially, and who want to stop or reduce how much time they spend on social media, but they can't because they're preoccupied or obsessed with it.
Isn't that the parents' fault?
Aha!
Aha!
Ironically, it's the parents who can sue for their own stinking parental negligence. Well, business groups have warned that if the bill passes, social media companies would most likely cease operations for kids in California rather than face the legal risk. Now, the proposal would only apply to social media companies that had at least $100 million in gross revenues in the past year. That's appearing to take aim at the giants, again, like Facebook, Twitter, TikTok, etc. But interestingly, it would not apply to streaming services like Netflix and Hulu, or to companies that offer only email and text messaging services. So it's okay to continue to be hooked on TV, Melody, but social media on your smartphone, you better watch out. Now, it still has to pass the Senate in California, where it's going to go undergo hearing and certainly negotiations among advocates, opponents, and lawmakers. The bill gives social media companies two paths to escape liability. Companies that remove features deemed addictive to children by April 1st would not be responsible for damages incurred to children. Also, companies that conduct regular audits of their practices to identify and remove features that could be addictive to children would be immune from lawsuits. They would also implement stringent age verification in order to ensure that adolescents didn't use their sites. So I hate to say a bizarre turn, because we see so many of these kinds of things occurring today. I mean, you know, certainly, we're reading, and I believe some of the information is credible. These social media companies using very sophisticated algorithms to bring in not just kids, but their parents and uncles and aunts and grandparents as well. Interesting times indeed, don't you think, Melody?
Government needs to stay out of doing things like this, and it's just parents. You know, it's just to raise children in today's world. It is a very tough job. It takes even more time and more energy, but yet we live in a time where that energy and time is spent working to pay, to have a, you know, a decent home and to give the kids an education and so forth. And that's inflation. It's just not the prices rising and so forth. It's inflation. Our dollars are losing value. It takes more of them to buy things, and that's educations and everything else. So the government needs to stay out. Parents need to pay a little more attention. And earlier we were talking about Walmart, how they're expanding their drone delivery across 6 states this year. So if you live, I guess, within 30 minutes or less, you can get your diapers or your dinner ingredients delivered by drone. There's through an expansion with Operator Drone App, the big box retailer said it will be able to reach 4 million households. They're going to do it in Arizona, Arkansas, Florida, Texas, Utah, and Virginia. Now, these deliveries by air will be fulfilled from a total of 37 stores, with 34 of those run by Drone Up. It announces plans for growth today in a blog post. Walmart currently offers drone deliveries from a few stores in Arkansas and North Carolina. And they've been testing how the small unmanned aircraft could change the game for retail, drive e-commerce growth, and turn its stores into a way to outmatch Amazon on speed. And, you know, it's just like 2 years ago, Walmart struck deals with Flytrek, Zipline, and DroneUp and began the pilot program, Dave.
Well, all about competition. Melody, 90% of Americans live within 10 miles of Walmart's more than 4,700 stores throughout the country. Customers who live within the range of a Walmart drone delivery site can order any one of the thousands of items between 8 a.m. and 8 p.m. Each drone delivery comes with just a $3.99 fee, which is interesting. But I suspect they may find a way to tweak their normal pricing now that inflation is up and running away. But customers can order items totaling up to 10 pounds for these deliveries. Now, I hope the drone being delivered to my neighbor's house isn't going to tip and send those that 10 pounds of goods falling on the neighbor's kids. But supposedly each drone will be flown remotely by a certified pilot to the customer's yard or driveway. Then the cable. There is a cable on the drone that slowly lowers the package.
Pretty interesting stuff. Wait till one of them falls out of the sky and drops a package on somebody. We're going to have to walk around with helmets. But so not only do you ride your bike with a helmet, you'll be wearing it 24/7.
I know.
We still have births.
We do,
believe it or not. They should. They have no food, though. They can't eat after they're born. You know, births did bump up a little bit last year, but the babies born are still lower than before, you know, 2020. It was a 1% increase, was a bit of a rebound from 2020, the first year of the pandemic, which witnessed the largest drop in births in nearly 50 years. There were still about 86,000 fewer births last year than in 2019. And, but the U.S. births, and, you know, of course, I'm sure they haven't figured in abortions with this, but the U.S. births have been declining for more than a decade before 2020. And, they do expect to see, small, modest decreases. And this is not good for our country. This is not good. We, you know, Dave, it's, we see, China having a problem because their birth rate dropped so much, and now their whole population just about is, you know, over 70 or around that area. So, it's not healthy for a nation. Deliveries were way down in January of 2021. Nearly 3.7 million births were reported last year, up roughly from the 3.6 million in 2020, Dave.
Yeah, well, birth rates dropped again for teens and young adult women, less than 25, but rose 3% for women in their early 30s, 5% for women in their late 30s, and another 3% for women in their early 40s. U.S. was once among only a few developed countries with fertility rate that ensured that each generation had enough children to replace itself. That was about 2.1 kids per woman. But that figure has been sliding, and Melody alluded, in 2020 dropped to about 1.6, the lowest rate ever. Last year, up slightly to 1.7. One thing that hasn't changed was sort of the tendency of premature births, particularly in older moms who are more likely to give birth pre-40-week terms. A very modest gain, Melanie, wow. But probably not enough to sustain
an increase every year.
An economic engine, down the
and,
road.
I don't know what year it would be to where we would pass into be in a situation. There's another country I can't think of. I don't think it's India, but where they're having I guess China is having an issue because for so long they had that one child program.
Yeah.
And then now they've since reversed that because they saw the situation of their future. And so it's not good. But it's just another sign of what is happening to our nation and the future of it. That's what it's a sign of. And Dave, I know you like billionaires.
Hey.
And,
they're my favorite to talk about.
I know. And, one is created every 30 hours, especially over the past 2 years. We talked a little bit about this yesterday, about all the new billionaires that were created during the past 2 years. The Anti-Poverty Organization released a report that found that from March 2020 to March 2022, 573 people around the world became new billionaires. This year alone, Oxfam expects more than 260 million people to be pushed into extreme poverty or living on less than $2 a day worldwide. Currently, the world's 10 richest men own more wealth than the bottom 40%. I mean, that really is amazing. How about 3.1 billion people? So the 10 richest men on earth own more wealth than the 3.1 billion people. Let that sink in.
Yeah, that's what I'm doing as we speak. I mean, meanwhile, working families are feeling the crunch of economic insecurity and a growing loss of hope in their future. 2,000 billionaires increased their collective worth, Melody, by almost $4 trillion, or 42% in 2 years during the pandemic.
Wow. Unbelievable. And it's unbelievable that we went through that 20 minutes so quick. We're hearing the music for the break. We'll be right back. Please stay tuned. You're listening to Financial Survival.
Since the beginning of the United States, kings have sought it. Nations have fought for it. It has been traded, borrowed, purchased, and stolen. There is a reason for it. To secure the blessings of liberty to ourselves and our posterity. Invest with the security of gold and silver. Call Discount Gold and Silver Trading at 1-800-375-4188. That's 1-800-375-4188. Listen to Financial Survival with your host, Melody Cederstrom, on Shortwave Radio. Visit DiscountGoldAndSilverTrading.net or call 1-800-375-4188. That's 1-800-375-4188. For the very best in gold and silver trading, call toll-free 1-800-375-4188. That's 1-800-375-4188. Call now.
Melody Cederstrom and CSE Talk Radio team up as Common Sense Voices of Integrity. I personally endorse Melody Cederstrom to be your trusted go-to expert for all your precious metal needs. Experts agree a financial crisis and even collapse is inevitable. Given our government's lack of economic leadership and self-interests of those in power, it's no longer a question of if you should purchase gold and silver, but if you will purchase gold and silver before it's too late. Melody encourages you to tune in each weekday morning. Visit csetalkradio.com. We both agree truth and education are the two significant factors in both our missions. There is a wealth of misinformation out there. Let Melody and Beth Ann help you sort through the chaos and bring you home to the truths that will ensure that you and your family are protected. Call Discount Gold and Silver Trading, 1-800-375-4188, or online at dgscoins.com. Melody and Beth Ann are strong forces together, working to preserve liberty and bring America home.
Hey, one more time. Welcome back to Financial Survival. I'm Dave Allen, Melody taking care of clients. This final segment, call her at 1-800-375-4188. Our latest American Survival newsletters hit the streets again late last night. I have an article about the National Inflation Association's 2022 Gold Education Report. And boy, let me tell you, it is a doozy, replete with wonderful graphs if you're into that kind of stuff. Port Chronicles Gold's historical path and suggests its very bright future track, given its close relationship factors like M2 money supply, inflation, Fed funds rate, U.S. dollar index, and others. So why don't we take a closer look? And the NIA says the number one factor that determines the price of gold in U.S. dollars in the long run is the country's M2 money supply per capita. M2 money supply per capita. The report notes that in January 1980, when the U.S. last experienced a price inflation crisis before the current one, gold peaked at $850 per ounce when M2 money supply per capita was a mere $6,569. Total money supply back then was $1.6 trillion total M2. Today, with M2 money supply per capita of $66,234, or a total of over $22 trillion, the NIA believes dollar price gold could surpass $8,500 in the years ahead. Now, for the past 15 straight years, gold always bottoms at the exact price, same exact price, as a percentage of M2 money supply per capita of 2.7%, according to the NIA. In fact, when gold is less than 2.8% of M2 money supply per capita, like it is today, gold achieves median forward price increases as follows. Goes up 2.4% in 1 month, 7.7% in 3 months, 10.8% in six, and almost 25% in 1 year. What's more, gold gains 100% of the time in these situations. Since 1968, gold's long-term median price as a percentage of M2 money supply per capita has been 2.94%, ranging from a low of 1.2 in 1970 and 1.4 in the early 2000s to a high in between of just shy of 13% in 1980. When price inflation is above the Fed funds rate, i.e. there's a negative real federal funds rate, gold's median price as a percentage of M2 money supply per capita has been about 3.2%. and price inflation is above the Fed funds rate by 100 basis points, that is a percent or more. Gold's median price as a percent of that per capita is 3.5%. And when price inflation is above the Fed funds rate by more than 2.5%, gold's median price as a percentage of the M2 money supply per capita has been 4%. In fact, the NIA points out that gold has never once settled a trading day below 2.7% of M2 money supply per capita when the real Fed funds rate is negative by 250 basis points, 2.5 percentage points or more. Today, the real Fed funds rate is negative by 7.43%. Now, although Fed Chair Jerome Powell and his colleagues may be talking tough about raising the Fed funds rate to rein in inflation, the NIA report says it's extremely unlikely that the Fed will be able to raise the Fed funds rate to a level that exceeds price inflation. That just won't happen. Until the Fed can prove, this is the report again, until the Fed can prove its ability to get the Fed funds rate to at least within 250 basis points of inflation, gold has almost no downside risk. Another important long-term indicator for determining when to invest in gold and for estimating its future performance is the U.S. dollar index. The higher the dollar is trading, the better it is for future gold price appreciation, yes, in U.S. dollars. The dollar index right now is trading near a 20-year high. According to the NIA, it also appears to be extremely overbought with a lot of short-term downside risk. Anytime that the dollar index corrects from artificially high levels like today, it tends to add significant upward pressure on the price of gold. For example, since 1971, when the dollar index, or whenever the dollar index is below 102, gold sees these median forward gains. A one-month gain of about a tenth of a percent, three-month gain of 2.2%, six-month gain of 1.4%, and one-year gain of roughly 2%. Now, when the index is above 102, gold sees this, one-month gain of about 0.4%, three-month gain of 3.3%, 6 months of 5.1%, and 1 year of just about 15%, 7.5 times higher than normal. Since 1971, when the dollar index is above 102 and the Fed funds rate is negative, gold achieves a median forward one-month gain of just about 1%, three-month gain of 4%, six-month gain of a little over 8%, and a one-year gain of almost 21%. And then, ladies and gentlemen, there's the triple extreme moon indicator, the TEMI. Since 1971, when gold meets all three conditions of its triple extreme moon indicator, I guess when it's going to shoot to the moon, the dollar index is over 102, the real Fed funds rate is negative, and gold is priced below 2.75% of M2 per capita, gold sees a median forward two-year price increase of 74% and a three-year price increase of 221%. The NIA notes that in May, on May 13th, actually, this year, just 11 days ago, when gold settled at $1,812, its TEMI was met for the first time in over 19 years. Let me repeat that. Its TEMI was met for the first time in over 19 years, meaning the conditions are ripe for a huge increase over the next 1, 2, and 3 years. Now, the NIA contends that until the Fed raises the Fed funds rate to a level that exceeds inflation, again, won't happen. The current bull market in gold is nowhere close to being over. what's more, gold's about to enter its ramp up phase where it achieves its largest gains of the current bull market. Gold's last bull market lasts for over 10 years from 2001 through 2011 when gold increased by 640% or over nine times more than the growth in the M2 money supply per capita during the same period. And over the last six plus years, gold has increased by almost the exact percentage as M2 money supply per capita. Gold hasn't experienced anything close to bubble-like demand and has nowhere to go but up from its current price. And I believe that gold's likely to ramp up over the next 3 to 4 years. There's simply no downside risk for gold because it has not yet made a significant run during its current cycle. Gold rises at a pace that far exceeds growth in M2 per capita when safe haven demand for gold increases, with both monetary and price inflation being significantly higher than during gold's last bull market. The NIA expects gold's upcoming rally to be very extreme to the upside. And you know what? Who are we to disagree? Excuse me. Now, here's an interesting story. It's no secret that Americans' newfound remote lifestyles drove demand for larger homes with more comfortable workspaces and more comfortable layouts. But the demand may be responsible for more than half of the surge in real estate prices during the pandemic. That's according to a new report published by the National Bureau of Economic Research. It's one of the first papers that aims to quantify how remote work has reshaped the housing market. And if it holds up, it signals a fundamental shift in the housing market, that it wasn't just low interest rates and fiscal stimulus that drove up housing prices. For one, it found that remote work led to about 15 percentage points of the 24% average increase in house prices between December 2019 and November 2021. That's about 60% of that increase. Now, the two researchers responsible for this, former economist at the San Francisco Fed, maybe he's current, and an economics professor at University of California, San Diego, found that after controlling for COVID migration, regions with the highest rates of remote work experienced much higher home price growth during that period. Interesting. Now, back to Switzerland. Davos. A group of over 150 millionaires are calling on the elite attendees of this year's World Economic Forum to tax them more. Group known as Patriotic Millionaires published an open letter yesterday reiterating calls for the attendees to acknowledge the danger of unchecked wealth and inequality around the world and to publicly support efforts to tax the rich more. The letter said, "Tax us, the rich, and tax us now." Among the signatories, Hollywood actors, Disney heiress Abigail Disney, and many others. They explain in the letter that the inequality baked into the international tax system had created distrust between the people of the world and its rich elites. And to restore that trust, the group argues that it would take a complete overhaul of a system that up to now has been deliberately designed to make the rich richer. To put it simply, the letter says, restoring trust requires taxing the rich more. They added that the Davos Forum didn't deserve the world's trust right now, given the lack of tangible value that had come from discussions at previous events. Some of the millionaires even staged pro-taxation protests at Davos over the weekend. This latest call from the rich to be taxed more comes as rising prices ratchet up and the cost of living for people around the world. Patriotic Millionaires referred to Oxfam's annual report that Melody referred to last segment, which found a billionaire was minted every 30 hours during the pandemic. first 2 years of it anyway. Oxfam estimated that nearly a million people could fall into extreme poverty at the same time. Julia Davies, who's a founding member of Patriotic Millionaires in the UK, said that as scandalous as it is, the government seemed to be utterly inactive on dealing with cost of living. It is equally scandalous that they allow extreme wealth to sit in the hands of so few people. Davies added that global crises are not accidental. They are the result of bad economic design. Speaking on a panel in Davos today, Oxfam Executive Director Gabriela Boucher said that last year's multilateral agreement proposing that companies pay at least 15% tax on earnings didn't go far enough. The Organization for Economic Cooperation and Development tax reform agreement was signed by 136 countries in October, though it's yet to be implemented. Boucher pointed out that if the agreed rate had been set higher, say at 25%, as recommended by tax experts around the world, this would raise a further $17 billion for the developing world. Boucher was also concerned that the agreement at the current level would see a race to the bottom for corporate taxes and that countries with higher rates might actually bring them down. There's a danger that we're not really using this important tool at this moment when we have so many competing crises, Davies said, referring to a hunger crisis in both the developing world and in wealthier countries. Well, I guess you can accumulate as much wealth as you want. Then again, if everything ends around you, it doesn't make a whole lot of sense or difference. Well, that's all the time we have for today's program. I'll be back on Thursday. Butch will join Melody tomorrow along with Wendy Wilson of Apothecary Herbs. I'm Dave Allen. Thanks, as always, to our production engineer, Todd, and to you, our loyal listeners, for tuning into Financial Survival. Please be safe out there. Have a great evening. Bye-bye.